Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. This is Jonathan Ritter, and I am so glad you found this website. If you're new to this website and you just found this, I want to just encourage you. There's a ton of sermons on here, so check them out. From salvation to faith to spiritual warfare to prayer. Got some devotionals. I try to post a devotional Monday through Friday, so you can swing on here, read it for a little encouragement. A few Bible studies, not too many, online, but also sometimes I'm at churches, I'm doing Bible studies too. All this is free. Check out all these resources out. If you do need to contact me, several ways. First, this website has an email at the homepage, email link. So when you hit that first page, you type in Crucify for Christ Ministries, there's that. That's the home page. You'll see an email. You can email me that. If you do email me, make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry, because how that operates, it may not go straight to my main mail. It may go to my junk or spam mail, and I only check that once a month. So if that goes through that spam or junk mail or spam mail, it may get deleted. I don't want your question to be deleted. Also, I'm on Facebook, so if you want to send me a private message, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries here, and you don't even have to be part of my Facebook friend group or whatever, and I can answer your question that way. I can even add you to my Facebook. I just like to know if you've heard me through this ministry. I just kind of like to know that. I'm really cautious on who I put on my Facebook as friends on there, and I also have a private group on Facebook that I can add you to that I post stuff all through the week on replicable sermons, Bible studies, and all kind of resources that way that I'll point you to that to other men and women that are very well knowledge in the Bible, and not all these other guys out there that people are following that are not biblically sound. Several other ways, which I don't really get on them much, is X, which was Twitter, right? And once was Twitter and Instagram. You can reach out to me through those. I don't normally check those, maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. I don't really get on Twitter or X or Instagram that much, but you can. That's another way of reaching out to me. And of course, some of you guys that I know and trust, I've given you guys my personal phone number, and you can text me and call, and you guys do, so you know who you are. Love you. You're in my prayers. I lift you up, of course, daily. So we're continuing this preaching, teaching, sermon series in Psalms. And I've labeled this whole series, which is 150 Psalms, right? So far we've done the intro to Psalms, and then we've done Psalms 1, part 1. This is going to be part 2. And then we'll just start going through that. And what's going on is I'm posting it on my main feed here, my main sermon feed. And also created the Learning the Psalms tab, which I'm also posting in that, posting that sermon in there too. And the reason I'm doing this is because as we go through this, it's going to be a long breakdown of Psalms. I don't want it, we may take a break somewhere, and I'm pretty sure we will take a break. I may be preaching on something else, and I don't want the Psalms to be lost, like you're trying to stroll down and find them. I tried to do this once before, trying to teach to and preach through Psalms, and I found out I needed the Holy Spirit move me to a different, to preach on something different that week. Or I try to post a sermon every week on here. Don't always work out that way, because I work a secular job 40 hours a week, and then sometimes I'm at a church on the weekend preaching. Sometimes I'm at a church teaching. Wednesday I'm at a home group study. And then the weekend sometimes I have conferences. So I post what I can on the sermons all together, because I have sermons here, and I have an archive also here of more sermons there's over 500 sermons on here. So if I don't post a sermon that week, you can always go and find something to listen to on this website. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing that so when we do take a break in between what psalm we're in, you won't have to stroll down and try to find Psalm 1 or Psalm 2 or Psalm 3 or Psalm 4. You'll be able to go right there. And I prayed over that because when I was trying to do this series before that happened, and it just got lost. And although we went through 10, and I decided to just go back through this again, do it this way. You probably can find Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 breakdown somewhere. It might be in the archives now, but I'm just going back through these again and rewriting my notes on it. And so when we do take a break in between, I can reference that. It's like, if we're in Psalm 1 or 2, and then I'm led to preach on salvation for the next few weeks, then when I come back and we're on Psalm, and I'm doing Psalm 3 breakdown, I can reference that. You can go to Learning the Psalms tab, and you can actually listen to the intro, Psalm 1, Psalm 1 Part 1, Psalm 1 Part 2, Psalm 2, regardless if it may be a Part 1 or Part 2. So you can go back there and you can listen to it. And the whole point of doing this series is for you to draw hope, because we live in a time where it's just getting darker and darker, my friend. And the way the world is wrapping up is not going to get no better. I don't say that to make you feel sad. All these things have to take place for Jesus to come back. But as the darkness engulfs our nation, America, and this world, we are supposed to be a light. We are supposed to still have hope. We're not supposed to lose our hope. And our light should not be dimmed from the darkness. It should shine brighter than ever. And I believe through the Psalms, when we study it and when we memorize the Psalms and we just take that into our heart and we just live through the psalmists as they experience things in their life that was challenging, we can draw comfort from that and realize our strength does not come from us, but it comes from the Lord. And I believe through the Psalms, you can really grasp that. You can really grab that. You can live that. And of course, it's about being more like Jesus. Less like ourselves, more like Jesus. Now, if you didn't hear part one of Psalms 1, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Once again, there's two ways to do it. You can stroll down and find Psalm 1, Part 1, or you can go to Learning the Psalms tab, and you can see the intro, Psalm 1, Part 1, and today is Psalms 1, Part 2. So let's pray. We'll pray, we'll read into the Psalms, and we'll go into Part 2 here. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into your word, thank you, God, for your direction and your guidance every day, every week. I couldn't do this life without you. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for holding me, encouraging me. Thank you for your direction, your guidance throughout the day, throughout the week. For in my own hands, I will mess it up. But for your hands, you guide, you direct, you make it beautiful. And when we walk in your will, when we walk in your path, in your direction, your way, we can have that joy and that peace in our heart. Doesn't mean that path that we're walking is going to be an easy path. And that direction that you appointed to is going to be an easy direction. Or the way you have for us, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means that you are in that direction. You're in that way. You're in that path. And when we lean on you, even though the sky is falling down, the walls are crumbling. We keep on pressing on because we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing in your strength and your way, your path, your direction. God, help us be people that have a hunger and a thirst for the Lord and His Word. Nothing else in our life matters except You, God. A fire igniting in our hearts to reach those around that You have placed in our path throughout the day, throughout the week, to tell them about You. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Psalm 1, let's read this psalm again, and we'll go into this. So if you have your Bible, Psalms 1, we'll start with verse 1, and we're just going to read down six beautiful verses here tonight, the psalms here for us in this series that God has laid on my heart to preach and teach through. His first one says, "Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, and that bring forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind driven away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, the title of this sermon, this Psalm 1, part 1, part 2, the title is for both of these. If you listen to last week's sermon on Psalms 1, part 1, you'll know the title already. I pray that you've wrote it down and you kind of went through Psalms 1 several times this week, thinking about it, meditating on it. But the title is Two Ways, Two Paths, Two Directions. Which one are you on? Two ways, my friend, two paths, two directions. Which one are you on? And I ended last week's, in the conclusion with these questions from a commentary I was reading on. And the commentary started out with this question: what path am I traveling? And the commentary says, every person must ask this soul-searching question: what path in life am I traveling? Have I entered the narrow gate that leads to the path of the godly? Or am I traveling the broad way that is headed to destruction? These are important diagnostic questions that each person must ask himself or herself, right? And answer carefully and accurately. If you say that you are walking the path of the righteous, this brings on another series of questions to determine the genuineness of your faith. Is there clear evidence of a transformation life that authenticates such a claim? Are you experiencing the blessedness of God's favor? Are you living a separate life distinct from the beliefs and the behaviors of the ungodly? Have you made the break from the world? Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Man, I pray that you really reflect on these questions this week. And I encourage you to write them down and reflect them throughout the next week, or the week after, or as we go through each of these psalms in pretty deep detail. Let these questions, if you're writing a notebook, have a notebook writing through these psalms, or if you type them down, have those questions, because that is the heartbeat of the psalms, is to understand the life I'm living the path that I am on, the direction that I am on, the way that I am on, is it the way that God, in the direction of God, the path that God has me on, or I'm on my own path, my own way, in my own direction? You see, a man or a woman that is truly blessed will walk that narrow path, that way, in that right direction. Because this godly man and godly woman walks different from this world. Oh, how when I look across, especially here in America, and those professing and know Jesus Christ, they walk with the world, not away from the world. But see, a godly man will walk and a godly woman will walk different from this world. They will not take counsel from the ungodly or walk in the way of the sinners, nor sit at the table of the scoffers. Verse 2 tells us, let's go into verse 2 here. Let's read that. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. If you highlight your Bible, highlight delight in the law of the Lord. And this law, that's the law of the Lord, do he or she meditate day and night? See, this blessed man or woman will delight in the law of the Lord. If I ask you today, my friend, my brother, my sister, I pray that you are in the Lord. What does the law of the Lord mean to you? If I ask you how you could define the law of the Lord, what would you say to me? Could you define it? Could you tell me? Jonathan, this is how I'll define the law of the Lord. I pray if you don't, after this, you will be able to. This law of the Lord wraps around us. This is foundation that we should hold firm as we walk in this crazy world. The law of the Lord is vital for us to grow more like Jesus Christ. And this only comes from a life of true devotion and obedience to the written word of God. The Enduring Word commentary tells us this. Throughout Psalms, the phrase law of the Lord is used to describe God's entire word. Not only the law portion of the first five books of the Bible. The righteous man is delighted with the word of God. What makes you happy? What makes you excited? This is a good way to see what is important to you. If your personal pleasure is the only thing that makes you happy, then you are a selfish, self-centered person. If being with your family or friends delight you, that can be better, but it still falls short. The righteous man or woman finds his delight in the law of the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon said this, if a person delights in something, you don't have to beg him and her to do it or to like it. He or she will do it all by himself or herself. You measure your delight for the word of God by how much you hunger for it. Listen to that again. If a person likes something, you enjoy something, something makes you happy, you don't have to be begged to do that, right? You don't have to beg him or her to do it or like it. He or she will do it all by himself or herself. You can measure your delight, my delight, for the word of God by how much you hunger for it. How much you hunger for God's word. Just think of what drives your day. Is it hanging out with your friends? Maybe it's hours of nonsense, social media. Maybe it's when you get home, you turn on the TV, and you find that series or that movie you watch for hours upon end. Maybe it's that trashy romantic romantic novel or some other novel that you're reading instead of God's Word. I want to tell you, before I came to Christ, I would read garbage. I was a big Stephen King novelist fan. I've read every book that he written at that point in time. Now, I don't even keep track of them. I would also watch horror movies with sex and violence in them. I would delight in this ungodly entertainment because my heart was wicked and dark. No one had to force me to take in this garbage. Right? I hunger for it. I literally breathe for it. I couldn't wait to come home and get into that garbage. It absorbed my life. But now I delight in God's Word more than anything else in this world. Right? That's how you know there's a transformation in your heart. Because you know the old person you once were and you see your newness. Actually, when I came to Christ, truly, people realized there was a difference. I lost family. I've lost friends over it. I had them tell me, "You're not the same. I don't like what's going on, man." And when you hear people say that to you, and not in a sense that you're doing something crazy, you're just, now you just don't, and to their eyes it's crazy, right? Because you're not watching that filth on TV like you used to, letting it absorb your life, and if anything, you hopefully restrain completely from it. I still struggle to a degree on that, but God, I do not watch as much filth as I used to. And you can always define filth, right? It's hard to find good, wholesome entertainment on television these days. There's language and there's violence and there's sex. Even from sitcoms. But one thing I know is certain, I don't hunger for that garbage. I spend more time in God's Word and praying than I do watching TV or sitcoms or doing anything else. And I'm definitely not perfect, I promise you. And God's still working on me, I promise you. And that's no excuse. But it's just me being real. But now I delight more in God's Word more than anything else. Psalm 19:7 says, that's Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open thy my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119 verse 77 says, let thy tender mercy come on me, that I may live, for the law is delight. Romans 7 verse 22 says, for light, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Let me ask you, how much do you read your Bible, study God's Word? Do you meditate on God's Word daily? Now, when I say meditation here, you can also use the word imagine. Translate to the same word. One commentary puts it this way. A righteous man, and I add or woman, ponders the word of God. He or she does not just hear it and forget it. He or she thinks about it. Christians should meditate on God's word. In Eastern meditation, the goal is to empty the mind. And this is dangerous because an empty mind may present an open invitation to deception or demonic spirits. But in Christian meditation, the goal is to fill your mind with the Word of God. This can be done by carefully thinking about each word and phrase, applying it to oneself, praying it back to the Lord. C.S. Lewis says, many lack because they only read and do not meditate. It's only It is only reading that does us good. It is not only reading that does us good, but the soul inward feeding on it and digesting it. Are you inwardly feeding on God's Word? Are you digesting God's Word? Meaning, are you letting God's Word change you from the inside out? See, a blessed man and woman will have this one track mind, that he or she will want God's Word to invade their every aspect of their life. They will have God's Word on their minds 2 times a day. Day and night. Right? Let me ask you, how much do you have, how much of God's Word do you have on your mind daily? What happens when we do this? When we do truly meditate on God's Word day and night, this transformation power of God's Word, what happens? Verse 3 tells us what happens. And he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, that bring forth his fruit in his season or her season. His leaf also, her leaf also shall not wither. But whosoever he or she do shall prosper. If I ask you, what is a strong tree, what would you say? Me personally, I think of strong root, a strong root system. If a tree has strong roots, when the storms in this lot, let's think of a physical tree. Like when we think of a root system, say a tree that has a strong root system, the roots are firmly deep within the ground. This creates stability, right? So when the physical storms come on this tree, the wind, the rain, all associated with a thunderstorm or a tornado or a hurricane comes along, that tree is less likely to be uprooted, physically speaking, right? Because tornadoes and hurricanes are pretty strong. But if a physical tree, the roots are just not all the way deep in the ground, they're shallow, right? They're not, they may be a foot down, which is not very deep. When a tornado, a hurricane, or a strong windstorm, thunderstorm comes, that tree will be removed because they're shallow, not deep. And when we think of this from a physical to a spiritual, right? When our spiritual roots are deep in the ground, Jesus Christ is stronger than any storm that comes our way. The spiritual tornadoes and hurricanes that come in our life, they will not uproot us if our root system is deep in God's Word. They will not. But if your root system is not, you will be uprooted. Root system, God's Word. Who you're listening to, right? Preaching to you, teaching to you is important. Are they centering God's Word? Do they give you more scriptures than little stories or illustrations to entertain you? That's one thing you should listen to when you're listening to somebody preach and teach. And what I've noticed today is this feel good message. These old preachers, I guess you could call them old. They've been around for a while, like Steve Furtick, Joel Osteen. They will not feed you through God's Word. Instead, they will give you a little scripture, right? And then they will go off on a tangent talking about something else. and the people that are breathing to take their spots. And you'll see a lot of young motivation speakers today. I call them young motivation speakers today, and they call them Bible teachers. They're not Bible teachers. They've took a page from these guys' books, and they're just using it again. And guess what? People still, when they're giving you more stories, personal stories, or little antics about things, and they don't give you much scripture, and it seems like the God's word is just something they have to talk about to make themselves legit, so they can put, I am a biblical teacher, or I'm a Bible teacher, or I am a whatever, a preacher. If you're deep in God's word, your systems are deep and strong in God's word, guess what? You will be able to discern these individuals. One thing I've noticed breaks my heart, because I'm here from Louisiana. You guys may remember Duck Dynasty. Sadie Roberts. I've listened to a few of her stuff. She's just one of those. There's a motivated speaker, but they don't put biblical on her. She's in the beginning stages to be just like Joyce Meyer or Beth Moore. They're probably her role models, to be honest with you. Be careful who you listen to. But when you're deep in God's word, like when somebody gives me a name and I go check them out, I'm already prayed up. I'm already in God's word. So when I go and listen to them, the Holy Spirit moves in me to discern. When I go visit a church and I listen to the pastors or the pastor or a preacher or a guest preacher, I know. Not because something special about Jonathan Ritter, is because I am strongly rooted in God's word. Was talking with a young girl the other day, an older lady. I asked them if they knew who John Newton was. The older lady has been in church a long period of time. She couldn't even tell me that. The young girl looked like they was confused. Maybe wrote one of the most beautiful hymns out there that every time I hear it, I almost cry. They've probably sung the hymn multiple times, and they probably don't even know the backstory of John Newton. But Amazing Grace. One song I have memorized the lyrics to and cried to multiple times, and I've read his account. The transformation of a God. The word of God in his life was amazing. What I'm getting at is, there is a lot of people out there, they're not teaching. They're not preaching correct doctrine. But when we get deep in God's word, we'll pick them out, because the Holy Spirit gives us that power too. And the question is, how much are you studying God's word? If you're retired out there, you should be able to study. You should be studying God's word way more than I am. I work 40 hours a week, but I guarantee you, I give God 40 hours plus a week of prayer and study. Yes, does that affect my sleep time? Yeah. So somebody's retiring should way get more than that. So reflect on your life. This is hard and true, but you're not deep in God's word, and you're off every which way, and you will not have the power of discerning the church that you are, the pastor that you're listening to. You're not discerning correctly because you're not in God's word. That man could be teaching all kind of false doctrine. You wouldn't even pick it up. Because why? You're not a tree planted truly with a strong root system in God's word. I pray that you have a strong root system. A lot of churches, they don't preach on about how being a Christian is being a disciple. They will tell you that's two different paths, directions, ways. No. A lot of times they don't want you to tell a Christian they have to be a disciple because they try to get rid of all them tough passages within God's word to avoid where he tells them to crucify yourself, right? Pick up your cross and follow me daily. A man that is at the plow or a woman at the plow looking back, he is not worthy of the kingdom of God. They try to avoid all that because why? That don't preach. They don't want to tell you may experience pain and sorrow in this life. But that's okay. Because in this life, we will have pain and we will have sorrow. We will face trials and tribulation, no doubt. And as the time draws closer, we will suffer more pain and sorrow. And we will see more trials and tribulations for standing on God's word. But we should be okay with that. Why? Because our root system is strong. We should have peace, right? John 16:33 says, I have told you, and this is Jesus speaking, these things so that in me you may have peace. Through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, we should have peace. In this world, you will, not optional, you won't, or maybe, you will have troubles. But Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. You will have trouble in this world, no doubt. Look at Jesus Christ and his closest disciples, minus Judas, although he had trouble. And I want to tell you, there's always a Judas in the crowd, I promise you. There's at least one at your church. But just let me tell you, most of the closest disciples died brutal deaths or thought to. When you look at church history. Now, I'm not going to go through all this. I just want to mention a few. Simon, also known as Peter, believed to be crucified upside down. Andrew, also believed to die by crucifixion. James, the brother of John, was executed with a sword. Philip, we really do not know how Philip died, but some believe that he might have been beheaded, maybe stoned to death, crucified upside down. Bartholomew. Of course, I didn't say that right. Bartholomew. Bartholomew. He's believed to be flogged and beheaded. Another of the 12 of Jesus Christ's closest disciple. They experience trials and tribulations. Why do we think we're any different? What we're getting out of this garbage Christianity today that's sold in America. Is you can have a life with no trouble. With no more pain. With no more sorrow in this life. And that's a lie and deception. Many millions upon millions professing to know Jesus Christ. One day, they profess with their mouth, but they don't believe in their heart, right? They will bow to the throne of the Antichrist while batting an eye. Because they're fed this false Christianity. We in America have been conditioned for a while now to give in to the government. You don't believe me? Look at COVID. How many churches in America closed their doors without fighting back? The reign of the Antichrist of the end times will be worse than COVID. And many will bow to his reign and give their allegiance to him. And if you guys follow this ministry, you know I'm post-trib. And one day, you will be post-trib one way or the other. But we truly come to Jesus Christ, right, believing his death, right, his burial, his resurrection. This belief is wrapped in the faith, and this faith ignites the trust and the passion to seek him with our whole heart. The old life, guess what? We do not want that old life. We do not want to be that old self, but we want to have the newness of Christ. We want to be new in Christ. We want to walk more in the spirit, right, and less in the flesh. And yes, every day is a battle, but we give that day to the Lord, right? We have to crucify that old flesh every day. We have to die daily. We have to have this mindset, as Paul tells us in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise his holy name. He gave himself for me. I promise you, you and I hear many or any today popular evangelists or these imposter evangelists preaching from these type of scriptures. Why? Because they don't sell. They can't pack their numbers. They can't say, well, 500 people gave their life to Christ. 600 people gave their life to Christ. And I'll ask, what was your message? And I promise you, many will avoid scriptures like Galatians 2:20. See, when you truly come to Christ, you're not making your life easier on this earth. You're actually making it harder. Because this world is Satan's world, and we walk counter to that, guess what? True Christianity does that. You will have more trouble in this life. But those that know Jesus Christ, those that have the strong root system, will accept the cost. And we're okay to pay that cost because it's an honor and a privilege to walk in the right way, the right path, and the right direction God has set for us. Luke 9:57-62 says this, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, I just love how it says the way here. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus, he looked at him. I'll tell you, these wouldn't be popular messages. Jesus Christ physically, if he came down physically in human form and walked in churches and are preaching on these scriptures, majority of the churches in America would kick him out. He said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was homeless. Another came and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou preach the kingdom of God. Third here. 6:1. Another one said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid thee farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. These are the words of God. You got a problem with these verses? Take it up with Jesus. Maybe you're a progressive Christian, meaning you don't believe these passages apply to anymore. I promise you, they apply. All scripture is God-breathed. They apply then, they apply now. Not because your sugar-coated pastor or preacher tells you they don't. For the wrath of God, if he does not repent, and I hate to say if she, because I don't believe in female pastors. I believe that's equivalent to a gay pastor. They will have to face the wrath of God one day. But we pray over them. But here's Jesus speaking. You want to be my disciple? You want to be a true Christian? Right? And of course, the word Christianity didn't really, that word didn't come out to Acts. But that's what we would say today. If you truly want to be a Christian, you have to be a disciple. Because what? In Acts tells us they were, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They were disciples before they were Christians. So, I'd rather be a disciple, be called a disciple of Jesus than called a Christian. But you can call me a Christian because I am a disciple. They are interchangeable. They are not different. And I'll tell you that today's popular messages today, they will tell you those are different. I'm tell you that is a lie. And if you can't reach that person preaching that garbage and they don't want to listen to them, you leave. Add them to your prayer list and move on. Pray that God rattles them and shakes them. Deplatforms them one way or the other. Luke 14, 25 through 35. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if a man comes to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yea, his own life alone, he cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying here? What he's saying is he's contrasting hate and love. He said, you have to love me more than your father. You have to love me more than your mother. You have to love me more than your wife. You have to love me more than your children. I'm going to tell you the heartbreak of my to look is when I ask people to go to conferences with me and they and to uplift God and to iron sharpen irons, and they refuse to because they got some family thing they need to do. And I'm not talking about any kind of mercy. I'm talking about some luxury that actually is the grace and mercy of God that is bestowed on them so they can have that privilege, and they don't want to do it. My heart breaks. But then I know exactly what kind of person I'm dealing with. I understand the immatureness of their faith. And I pray God refines them as He needs to. Because they're truly not putting God first in their life. They got him second, third, and fourth. That exposed a little bit of their heart. Because I'm not there 24/7 watching them. I don't see their prayer life. I don't see their Bible reading. But God does. And he takes that stuff seriously. It's only by his grace and mercy that he doesn't do something crazy to them. Crazy? Think of Acts, right? Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Right? God dropped them dead right where they stood. People say, oh, I want an Acts church. No, you don't. We would be bulldozing people out of churches into unmarked graves because of the lying they're giving to the Holy Spirit. You don't ever, well, you pray for it. But when people in your church start dropping dead left and right, not saying God will do that. It's in God's word, though. They lied to the Holy Spirit. If I tell you I'm doing something, like I am studying my Bible and praying this and this, and I'm not doing it, the Holy Spirit, I'm lying to them. You don't have to worry about me. I'll have to stand before God. I will not stand in your place. Yeah, I know that's pretty heavy, right? Luke 14:25. But let's look at, we read 25, we read 26. Let's read 27. It says, "Whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For what are you intending to build a tower? Sit not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it." Lee's Hartley. "After he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it at all. That behold, he begins to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king, sit not down first and consult whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him and come against him with 20,000? Or else where the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall he be salted? What shall it be salted? Is neither fit for land nor yet for dunghill, but men cast it out. And he that had ears to hear, let him hear." Once again, Jesus is preaching here, teaching here, the importance of following him with everything he has. Jesus didn't hold back. As I was saying, if Jesus came down here in physical form today and went into most of the churches here in America, especially here in Vernon Parish, he would be kicked out. And if they could get away with crucifying him again, they would afresh. Because these messages upset modern day Christianity, false Christianity. A Christianity that tells you keep on sinning because God's okay with that. A Christianity, a false Christianity that tells you that you don't have to change or you can keep living in your filth. A Christianity that tells you you do not have to count the cost of anything because God is okay with him being second, third, fourth, or wherever on the lowest priority in your life. And I put it this way and put it in perspective. How much time do you spend in God's Word? If you're like me, you work 40 hours a week. You should be giving 40 hours at least to God a week. I don't hear any preachers saying that. Or pastors saying that. And you know when they're not saying it? Because they're not doing it. And the people in the pulpit are okay with that. They're okay with making God second, third, and fourth in their life. But I want to tell you, if you're like that, you do not have strong root systems. You're not on the right way. You're not on the right path. You're going the wrong direction. I want to say, if this don't create repentance and conviction in your heart, I will say that you're on the path of destruction. See, truly a man and woman of God will understand the cross. They'll be okay with the pain and the suffering may come with that, especially here in America one day, because they have a strong root system, not a shallow. But one here, when you look at Psalm 2. In the King James, it says rivers. This tree that's planted, this tree with strong root systems, it has a water source, or rivers, or you could say streams of water. One commentary says the person who delights in God's law will be a tree planted by the streams of water, which draws its life-sustaining nutrients from a stream flowing through the roots. The God-centered life draws a spiritual variety from God's Word, which is compared to many streams. The streams here is the plural, representing abundant, overflowing supply of strength. The sustaining grace conveyed it through God's Word. The godly sits deep down roots in the reservoir, which will never run dry. One that refreshes, revives, renews, cleanses, satisfies those who draw up on it. God's Word can sustain the godly. We're in God's Word, meaning when God's Word takes majority of our time, we are memorizing Scripture, living Scripture every day. This creates a strong root system because we're connecting with the ultimate water source, the living water, right? And this right here is already pretty long. I didn't really want to do a part three, but I encourage you to go over there in John 7 when you have time and read about the woman at the well. And I just want to mention one verse here. John 7, verse 38. He, that is Jesus, says, he that believe in me. Or actually, he that believes in me, that is he or she here. So he's that person that hears and trusts in God, that believes in me, that's me is Jesus. As the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What happens? Being in God's Word affects our whole life. And guess what happens? Fruit will come from this. Our leaf will not wither. And we will experience the movement of God in our life. And those around us will be affected. Amen. And then David gives this contrast. He's talking about the godly man here and godly woman. Now he's giving a contrast of the ungodly. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but they are chaff which the wind drives away. The ungodly are different. They're on a different path than the godly. They're on a different way and they're on a different direction. They will not be planted by living water or have strong root systems. Their root system is shallow, unstable. And David explains this unstableness, this instability by comparing this ungodly man, woman to chaff. If I say chaff, what comes to mind? Most commentaries will define chaff as this, like a shell around a kernel of grain, which must be stripped away before the kernel of grain can be grounded in flour. Chaff was light enough that it could be separated from the grain by throwing a scoopful into the wind and letting the wind drive away the chaff. Would you call this chaff stable? Most would say this is highly unstable. It's lacking substance. This is what David is saying. He's calling the ungodly. They're unstable. They're lacking substance. They're lacking living in God's Word. Spurgeon says this is a chaff. It's intrinsically worthless, dead, unservable, without substance, and easily carried away. Easily carried away. Unstable. Verse 5 and 6 says, therefore, after saying, look at this chaff, it is unstable, it's worthless, it's dead, it's unserviceable. I know I didn't say that right. Unservable. Without substance. David said, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sit in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of righteous, But the way of the ungodly shall perish. That should break our hearts. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This points, right, that the path of the ungodly are not the same as the path of the godly. They're not on the same way. They're not going that narrow path, and they're on the wrong direction. They will one day face rejection of God because they choose not to change their path, their way, or direction. God provides every opportunity for that person to change his or her way, direction, and path. I don't know how all this works. All I know is God is big enough to let everyone know that he is the right way, he is the right direction, and he is the right path. And he can send you, he can send me to someone's house, to their church, the grocery store, or wherever. He can give a person a dream, a vision. He can reveal himself to nature. He is big enough to reach them. And he tries. He will give the ungodly every opportunity to change the direction, their path, and their way. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's God's word, my friend. He will give opportunity to all to come to him. But they will have to make that choice. He does not want to see any to perish and go to hell. And closing this out, I want to ask you, what way are you on? What path are you on? What direction are you on? This psalm, two parts, roughly over 2 hours. A lot of scriptures given, probably more than you would get at most churches in a 2 month span. Two sermons right here. Probably more doctrine and sound teaching that you would get in these messages because the Holy Spirit, not because of me. That you would get in, that you would not get, I'll say, a Steve Furtick church for probably not even 6 months. You probably won't get this much sound doctrine. That's the sad part. Or Joel Osteen. But they can highly motivate you and probably speak a whole lot better than I do. But that won't save them from the wrath to come one day if they don't repent and turn from their wicked ways. And those listening to them and is supporting their ministry, giving them money, because that's why they stay rich. I promise you, people will pull their funds from them, quit going to their churches. They would fade away. But as scripture tells us in the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine. We're living in those times. So some churches like that will grow. And more churches like them will grow. More than ministries like mine. Just the time we're living in. But the goal is here is to have you reflect. If you get anything from this, I want you to reflect on this. What path are you on? What direction are you on? What way are you on? blessed are you. Happy are you if you are on that true way, that true path, that true direction that Jesus Christ has laid out for you. There's only one way to the Father, that is to God, that is through Jesus Christ. His Son lays the foundation, that one bridge straight to the Father, and no one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ, because He is what? The only way, the only truth, and the only life. We recognize the sacrifice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to this world. And it's through His sacrifice. John the Baptist looked and said, "Here's the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world." The sin of the world. That cross. The brutality of it. Jesus Christ was human and also God. And He felt every pain, every nail that pierced His body. And it's through that blood that was shed, the atonement for our sin. Knowing we cannot save ourselves, we need a Savior to save us. It's through the cross, that bridge, that we recognize who we are to a holy and righteous God. Praise His holy name. And it's through His resurrection, knowing all the pain that we may suffer in this life for His name's sake is only temporary compared to the glory that awaits His children. But He nowhere in Scripture tells us that we will have an easy life. To come to Jesus Christ is to come against this world. To come to true Christianity that is truly being a disciple, counting the cost, picking up our cross daily and following Him. And when we do this, we will understand that being in His Word, having this strong root system by His rivers, streams of water flowing from Him, flows in our veins every day. It guides us and directs us every day to let His light shine among those around that He has placed in our life, to reach into their lives and to tell them about Jesus Christ. To go against the way of this world. Pushing against the false Christianity that is invading, has been invading America and others around us. To say, to be a Christian is to be a disciple, and to be a disciple is such an honor and privilege. Yes, I may suffer and feel the pain in my life to stand firm on His Word that I meditate day and night, but I will be this tree planted by living waters. As I stand in as strong as the storms come, and not because of my own strength, but the strength of the Almighty God that through the Holy Spirit gives me power to stand and to persevere to the very end. Oh, praise His holy name. For my tree will bring forth fruit because the Holy Spirit will produce fruit. and my leaf will not wither, and I will prosper in his holy name. And prospering means to reach out to those that are in need. And I will not resemble the ungodly, for they are like chaff, and the wind drives them away. And because I am not chaff, I am stable. I am in Christ, abiding in him day and night through his word. I will be not like the ungodly on judgment day. For they will not be able to even stand. Because at that point in time, they know where they're going. They will fall. But God already knows their hearts. They could say any words they might want to try to decrease the sentence. But God knows their intentions. We can't hide from the Almighty God. He sees our heart. He knows our life. You may get mad at this old preacher preaching God's word, as hard as God has placed it in my heart to preach. But I am not the one that will be standing in your place one day. You will have to look before a holy and righteous God. And if you are not truly his, you will fall. And he will sentence you because you have chose your sentence to everlasting damnation. And I want to encourage you today. If you're on this path, this wrong path, this wrong direction, this wrong way, I want to encourage you to turn from it. Go back through these two parts. Hit your knees and pray. Say, God, forgive me. Guide me, God, and direct me. Holy Spirit, come in my life. You ask those, you don't have to pray nothing fancy. You know, you get on your knees and you cry out to God, wherever driven that what this message that the Holy Spirit has given me to give to you. You get on your knees and you cry out to God, wherever it may look like. He sees the repentance of your heart. He knows you are true and genuine. He will invade your life and he will change your life. I promise you. And I will not take glory in that. All the glory goes to the Holy Father. What path are you traveling? I just want to quote this as we close this, and we're closing it out. Every person must ask the soul-searching question, what path? What path in life am I traveling? Have I entered the narrow gate that leads to the path of the godly? Or am I traveling the broad way that is headed to destruction? These are important diagnostic questions that each person must ask himself or herself. Ask carefully and accurately. If you say that you're walking the path of the righteous, this brings on another series of questions. Determine the genuineness of your faith. Is there a clear evidence of a transformation life that authenticates such a claim? Are you experiencing the blessings of God's favor? Are you living a separate life, distinct from the beliefs and the behaviors of the ungodly? Have you made that break from the world? Is your delight in the law of the Lord? I pray that you are truly on the right path, the right direction, and the right direction. The right path, the right way, and the right direction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just close this out, we lift your holy name up, God. God, I pray those that are hearing this message, God, they made it through the whole message. Praise his holy name. I pray over their lives right now. I don't know what's going on in their lives, but you do. They may have never heard a message like this preached so hard with so much conviction. It's all God, it's all the Holy Spirit. I pray for transformation in their life. If they're on this path of destruction, this wrong way, this wrong path, this wrong way, this wrong direction. God, Holy Spirit, rattle them and shake them. Lord, drive them to your word, that they meditate on your word day and night. It's through your word, this living water, when it starts flowing through our veins, we become stronger in you. Our root system grows deeper in you. Our eyes are open through the Holy Spirit to look at deception all around us. You give us discernment. Many people say they have discernment, but they don't, because they are not firmly placed in their life, their foundation in God's word, regardless how hard the word may be. Even when you're speaking about this being a disciple, then words are piercing, they're rattling, but they are needing to be spoke, especially today, as America grows farther and farther away from you. I truly believe, for it's all said and done, 1% to 2% in America will truly be Christian. Meaning we cling on God's word like there's nothing else. We don't listen to man's word unless their words are directed to your word. And those men of God we should cling to, because they cling to God's word. But even though they are men, we can say things that are not correct. And when we do, we should heed correction. I heed correction every time. If I say something that's not correct and not biblical correct, I pray that someone corrects me. Someone directs me through your word. Not their personal opinion, because I stepped on their toes. It was really, they give me too much credit on that. It's the Holy Spirit stepping on their toes. But you know, people will attack the messenger. You see that through, you know that God already. You see what happened to your disciples, your close disciples. They will crucify the messengers with the true message. And they will elevate those that proclaim a false Christianity that tickles their ears and teach unbiblical, unsound doctrine. God, I pray you just give us strength to keep having the strength to stand up against these individuals and to keep shining the light of the gospel throughout the day and to those around us. Even at night, if we work a night shift or we're out at night at a restaurant, at the grocery store, getting gas, that you open our eyes to those around us, that you may place in our path to tell them about Jesus, to tell them, yes, he loves you and he died for you, but he also calls us to live a different life. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. You guys have a good rest of your day, night, if you're listening to this at night or during the weekend or week. Once again, way to reach out to me is through, when you go to the homepage, you can email me. If you email me, make sure you put Crucified for Christ Ministries there, because it goes to spam. I won't delete it, and I can answer your questions if you have any. Also, Facebook, you PM me, private message me. Also, once again, type in Crucified for Christ Ministry. Some of you guys already know. You don't have to do that because you're already part of my Facebook group. You're on my Facebook specific group on Facebook. You also have my phone number, so you can text me, call me, any questions that you have. And y'all, several of you guys do that. Once again, I'm not on Instagram much or X, Twitter. So, but you can reach out to me that way. I may check it once a week or once every 2 weeks. I don't really get on it too often. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.